This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This College Football Picks Week 5 edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. We're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. Are you the best college football bettor in the U.S.? Odds Crowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Odds Crowd gives away hundreds of dollars in weekly contests, including the $100 SGPN exclusive free roll contest. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Hi, this is Merrill Hodge, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Ooh, welcome everybody to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Dog.
Just feeling good because I know we look good on this side of the table, Sean.
Yeah.
Without further ado.
Joining us as always in studio, Kobe Dant, aka the Dantabase. We had the money tree in here. We moved it so Colby would be able to, we wouldn't want to rob the audience of Colby's amazing good looks for the college football episode. Colby, how's it going, man?
Dude, I mean, well, the money tree is me. All right. Looking at all this green on this sheet, but I'm doing all right, brother. How are you guys doing? You guys,
you
ready
know, normally I'm not one to tout and again, NFL hasn't been amazing. However, college football, I'm sitting at 56% against the spread. Colby's sitting at 61% against the spread. Kramer hitting 60% of his dogs.
Locks.
Oh, sorry, his locks. I'm hitting 50% of my dogs.
Dog.
And it is, with the exception of the six pack, which everyone is struggling at because of Colby's game selection.
Can I tout myself real sure. quick? Because I do have the worst overall record, but somehow I'm 500 or better on both lock categories. One little kind of a statistical nugget from last week. Somehow Colby went 10-3, missed on his lock, missed on his dog, missed on his tees, and missed on his bonus lock.
So and I hit on my lock, my dog, and my bonus lock. So it seems like a formula is coming about. Take all of Colby's picks, unless he's talking about his locks. And then take Kramer and I, our locks and bonus locks, and even dog, and take my dogs because my dogs have been barking. I mean, at 50%, and I try to give at least like +150, +175, Notre Dame money line. That was a fun game. I was driving back, hung out in some little beach town.
Ooh.
Made my wife listen to the Notre Dame football broadcast on the drive
romantic.
Back.
Yeah,
it was airing on Sirius, and it was kind of funny to me that the Notre Dame game airs on the Catholic channel. So there was just something great about listening to the Catholic channel and having money on the event that they are describing. And the Notre Dame announcers are great. They're also insane homers. Which when you have money on a game, it's just so awesome to hear just this insane homerism.
The college play-by-play guys are the best.
They are really good. And then when Notre Dame had that kick return for a touchdown, I was genuinely worried about the guy's health. Like I thought he blasted an aorta or something. He was going to have a stroke.
How's Graham Mertz's NIL deal doing? He's got this t-shirt company. I wonder how is that thriving? Cause between him and Spencer Rattler and these NIL deals, they look like, you know,
yeah, I mean, a
couple of mediocre quarterbacks.
And Patty, I go more like Spencer rattled. Am I right?
Boom.
I mean, they're undefeated, but very, very fraudulent. All right, let's get to it. College football picks. Of course, brought to you by WinBet. That's right. You want to win big? Got to do it with WinBet. Make sure you head over to winbet.com, WINNBET.com, or download the WinBetting app. Active in so many states, just added Arizona, of course, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. Whew. So much action over at WinBet. Live in-game wagering, super fun there. Make sure you head over to winbet.com, WINNBET.com. Get that $1,000 risk-free sports bets. Let's go, baby.
Thought you were going to go with Spencer the Big Baby Rattler, or maybe Spencer the Broken Rattler.
Oh, okay. I liked it. Spencer needs his rattler. That one's pretty fun because he's a baby and he needs his. Oh, you want your little rattler, Spencer? That's a fun one.
Yeah, Spencer needs his bottle rattler.
All right.
Just, I mean, it does speak to the fact we are having this conversation off air.
Yeah.
But the case to buy or sell the Matty Corral Heisman Trophy. And I think the case for why, you know, regardless of the outcome of this Alabama game, it's still pretty strong is I just think these quarterbacks suck. There's a lot of quarterbacks that people were like, surefire NFL draft pick. You saw the odds. You're like, okay, I guess I'll believe that.
This is a great, cause I've been talking to Colby and you guys about like, hey, let's take his ticket. Let's get it over at propswap.com. Colby, get that bonus SGP promo code. Up to $500 bonus cash. I say all that in the office. I think at plus 180, this is a good time to sell the Rattler ticket. I get maybe why you wait a little bit.
The Corral ticket.
Yeah, sorry. The Corral ticket. The Rattler ticket. Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Don't worry about selling.
Yeah. I was like, hang who's on buying? To that thing. Right?
That's a penny stock right now. Well, what do you, Colby, it is your ticket. Where's your head at right now with the Matty Corral?
Well, I think, I mean, honestly, I see both sides of this here. He's on the verge of playing Alabama, which they scored like 49 or whatever on them last year, or 42, whatever it was.
48,
yeah.
I think.
And
which that would be good for the stats.
Yeah, but I also see the angle.
But
of
then
like,
Bryce Young also probably is going to light up Ole Miss.
Exactly, and I think that's his strongest competition right now. Wouldn't you say so?
They're both listed, I think, on win at 180.
They're the favorites, and yeah, I guess just I thought I worked for a company that was about putting the chips on the table,
letting it ride,
hedging their bets. Let's go, guys. I mean, I just like him down the stretch because I don't think there's going to be too many people that can really pop up, challenge him statistically. And so if there isn't one of those Bryce Young type situations where he rolls undefeated, he has a big win, maybe in the SEC championship game. I get the Bryce Young case. There's a bigger media machine behind him as well.
I just think there's a chance Matt Corral has a stinker of a game and that hurts, or they lose a couple games and that takes him out of it, or we get to the Heisman weekend and he's still not better than plus 180 going into that into the actual announcement.
My thing
is like I don't even know if it's hedging at this point because I don't know if the price gets much better. I think you either ride the ticket out or you sell it now.
If Bryce Young gets hurt, Lane Kiffin aware of odds, we know this.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin aware of what it means to coach a Heisman Trophy winner for recruiting in the future. He's going to help with those stats. So we're betting against basically Bryce Young likes to use his legs, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah.
Has been known to use his legs from time to time.
Yeah.
An injury. One injury.
Corral runs too, though, dude.
And to talk about the odds ceiling, boom, he's going to minus 200. So, hodl over here. I got diamond hands. I don't know about these two.
All right.
It's not my ticket, though.
We're going to get to some of these. I mean, the week five slate, a juicy slate. Colby, you're actually going to be in Nebraska for the Nebraska game.
Yeah, I'm going to Northwestern Nebraska. Any fans out there, let me know. I'm at the Colby D on Twitter. Yeah, as long as the car gets me there, Sean. But yeah, I should be there. So come on out if you're in the area, and I'll give you a little. I'll buy you a beer or a Jameson shot or something. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Yes, dude. Yeah. Are we sending Colby?
Yeah,
with
we got to send Colby with some. We still have a bunch of those
airplane
bottles
lighters.
Of liquor there and lighters. So
Colby does America.
Colby does America. So if you're in the Nebraska area going to that game, make sure you hit up Colby Dant. And then we have this week's special edition of Real Men of Degens.
SGPN presents Real Men of Degens.
Real Men of Degens.
We salute you.
Richard Alderetti. This is my guy, dude. Richard Alderetti is a good friend of mine, guys. I want to tell you this story. First off, one of the first Latino film editors in Hollywood. A good friend of mine, big SGP fan. Currently, I had to go see him at the hospital. Things aren't going good in his life. It's looking like it's coming to an end. But I sat there, you know, did the whole thing today, talking to him for about 2 hours as he held my hand, and we're going through things in life. I've been friends with him over a decade. And then, you know, we're going through, hey, I love you, man. I love you too, man. You know, I'll see you on the other side. And then he goes, but let me ask you something. Who you got in the game tonight? Talking about the Eagles, Cowboys, Redskins.
So good.
Yeah. So
hashtag Degens only.
Richard Alderetti. And by the way, I told him Eagles plus 4.5. He said, ooh, you know, maybe he can get his granddaughter something nice. Add on to that, that money he's going to leave behind. Shout out to my guy, Richard Alderetti.
Well, great, and, great guy. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in all those years to Richard, and shout out to you. Appreciate that. And going out in real D-gen fashion with you, a little, tell him to go money line. I mean, yeah, at this point,
exactly.
And tell him, right, to find
I can still send a text, Sean. I
normally,
got this,
right? You know, I tell everyone sign up at Win, but if you're in Richard's situation, find a credit book, you know.
And if you've ever seen Karate Kid, Richard was an editor on Karate Kid. He is responsible for the Bananarama song Cruel Summer being in that film.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
really makes the film.
Let's hope he hits the money line. And suddenly you guys are advising pushing to the chips to the table. I'm sure if you asked Richard, he would have told you to hold the ticket. Hold the ticket.
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so.
Don't sell.
USC laying 7 in Boulder, Colorado. The Buffs 7-point home dogs plus 215 on the money line. I'll start here. And Colby, I know it's tough for you to fade your Buffaloes, but man, or bison, as Ryan likes to say, the Colorado offense is just so insanely bad. They've put up 20 points in the last three games. I mean, the offense is just completely inept. I know USC has had their struggles. I normally love taking the Colorado team as a home dog at elevation here, but I think you got to make an exception here and just fade Colorado.
Yeah. And look, I've been fading them the past 2 weeks, and it's cash for me. I didn't have the nerve to put them on the six pack because they're my boys, but now that I know the season's over, they're there. look, I mean, it's really painful because we have a really good receiving core. We have a decent run game. It's just, we're starting a freshman quarterback, and we have like three quarterbacks as of 6 months ago that are starting elsewhere in college football. So just a crazy scenario, and we're starting Brandon Lewis, and he's a kid, and the offense sucks. They load the box, make this it so you can't run. Up. Yeah, USC will cover this. Give me USC minus 7. This is easy money, guys.
Well, they're also coming off a loss. I think there's a lot of reasons to like USC in this one, but yeah, I mean, just looking at the numbers, how do you average 80 yards passing a game?
I mean, that's like what Army averages, who runs a triple option.
Well, and the worst part about it, like I said, like Colorado's receiving core is really talented. And I wonder if this, you know, maintains, they might see some really talented receivers transfer out in the offseason. So they really got to fix this. I don't know if they got to go to a backup. I understand the second, because of JT Shrout's injuries out for the year, we had a Tennessee transfer coming in. We went with Lewis, and behind him is just walk-ons. So it's a really bad situation there in Boulder.
Well, and just to highlight how bad it is, I mean, they are behind Air Force in passing yards per game. They're behind UConn. They're behind San Diego State, noted runner of the football. Georgia State, triple option. Syracuse. Georgia Southern, another triple option. And Minnesota, who just lost to Bowling Green. This is a bad team.
I mean, and yeah.
Only ahead of Navy and Army. They're only ahead of Navy and Army, and
yeah.
And they don't run the triple option.
Part of that, I mean, look, yes, they're that bad. Part of it is also the 11 power fives on the schedule.
Okay.
Yeah.
They've only played a couple of them.
Eastern Michigan heads to DeKalb, Illinois. Hey, Colby, is College Game Day going to be here for this matchup in North?
I might be
Northern
though.
Illinois. And
what's better, College Game Day or me? Look, do I pass by Lincoln and just go straight to DeKalb, Sean? Or people give me shit about the
DeKalb? Right?
Yeah, is DeKalb. It DeKalb?
Come on, dude.
We'll stick with DeKalb. Northern Illinois laying 2.5 at home. We're taping this on a Monday. You know I'm not going to fade the Eagles on a Monday. Eastern Michigan 5-1 straight up. They threw people off the scent a little bit by not covering against my Minutemen, aka UMass. So I think the Eastern Michigan team is the better team here. I know they're traveling to Illinois, but that's not a crazy road trip for this team, and they've looked good on the road as well. I'm all over Eastern Michigan here, +2.5. Colby, am I right or wrong?
You're right. The wrong team is favored, man. Look, Eastern Michigan's a good team. I mean. In the MAC, I think Chris Creighton's done an unbelievable job with this team, and they have two good quarterbacks. Ben Bryant, the Cincinnati transfer. I just think that the wrong team's favorite. Eastern Michigan's a contender in the MAC, and they're going to prove it here.
Okay, we're fading Rocky Lombardi.
He is related to Vince Lombardi.
Are we worried about that? We're fading a guy
related
named Rocky
to Vince Lombardi
on Monday. On a Monday, when the Cowboys play the Eagles, you're gonna fade a guy named Rocky. You probably should. He's not very good. I'm with you guys. I think, you know, this feels trappy. You know what they say? Take the 2.5, lay the 3.5. So we'll take the 2.5 with Eastern Michigan.
Wong teaser written all over at Eastern Michigan.
Mm. Yeah. I think Wong's more of an NFL thing, Sean.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't apply to the value of moving points in college.
Pick number 3 in the Colby six pack, Northwestern. Heads to Lincoln, Nebraska, where the Huskers lay in 10.5 -425. You know, it's got to be kind of brutal for our buddy Larry the Cable Guy and all the Nebraska fans, because, you know, Nebraska, they've been in this weird zone, especially this year. It was like a make it or break it year. And I feel like we still haven't gotten any movement towards making it or breaking it. Like, they've looked good enough to give you some optimism. But then they're not winning these games, and they're like the Michigan State game. You gotta win.
They should have won that.
They covered.
They should have won the Illinois game. Yeah.
They should have won the Illinois game. They were alive against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So it's like, but they haven't looked so horrible where you're like, clearly Scott Frost has to be fired. Right. So I think they're in this weird area.
The special teams coach.
Special teams has been really bad.
That's honestly, in my opinion, like those are the three losses because of their special teams.
Yeah, and the fact that it's sitting right at this 10.5, and they've had so many issues with the return game, with the kicking game. I as much as I'm not in love with Northwestern, I think you have to take the 10.5 because Nebraska is so bad at like giving up a point here or there.
I'm on Nebraska. I'll be there. And I believe that I actually believe they're pretty good. If they can just figure out the special teams angle here.
See, but that's the thing. It's like they look pretty good, but they just haven't figured it out.
Colby, you have this thing for Scott Frost, and it's getting in the way of your ability to handicap. I know Northwestern is trash.
What do you mean? I had Nebraska +5. That thing hit on Saturday.
And I know you've been hot, allegedly, picking games in college football. But holy crap. Who's your number one coach in college football?
I mean, Pat.
Who was your number one coach in college football?
Not this year, buddy.
No, not this year. You wrote the article before this year.
Yeah, that once I saw their offense, I go, oh, okay. It's one of the every 5 years, Fitzgerald will have like a 4-8 season, but the rest will be like 9-10 wins. This is that 4-8 season.
I think they're live dogs. The more I look at this game.
I just can't trust this Nebraska team.
No.
And they fall in the category, and maybe I'll get burned just like Cliff Kitchens burned me. But this is Scott Frost is not a coach. You lay 10.5.
Well, look, period. I guarantee you, I'm not going to get kicked out for rooting too hard.
Adrian Martinez
in Nebraska. All right.
Oh, please. Please. Oh,
that would be pretty funny.
If you are at the game, make sure you document everything that happens, please.
And the number of Will Wade references he screams out.
I'm still going to carry
that
on.
Are you going to yell about Northwestern's basketball coach?
Chris Collins. Chris Collins.
I got to know.
I got to know. No, you won't get kicked out. You'd probably just get your ass kicked for being annoying. I feel like Nebraska self-regulates in the fan base.
Could be.
UNLV heads to San Antonio, Texas. UTSA. Kramer's bonus play. No,
just bonus, single bonus.
Oh, I thought didn't you throw them out? No. Last show, like as we were closing out the show.
Nope. They were my official bonus lock.
Okay.
I'm on to this team, Sean. Love that they're in the six pack this week.
Yeah, laying 21.
Yep.
And you know, I think the untrained eye would look at UNLV. Oh man, they only lost to Fresno State by 8 points in Fresno. Oh man, this team isn't that bad, but UNLV is really that bad. I'm all over UTSA here. Kramer, you're a big UTSA guy. I'll let you start. Are you rocking UTSA?
Oh, well, I mean, all you got to know. Now, this could be bad because here are the seven winless teams in college football. Mm-hmm. Arizona, UConn, Florida State, UMass, Navy, Ohio, and UNLV. So I think we're getting probably the worst of a number here, but UNLV is trash. They now take out to the road to take on UTSA, who is a great team.
Yeah.
You saw what they just did. Now, I
did you watch that game, by the way?
Which game? The Memphis UTSA game?
They came back. Memphis was up 28-0.
I checked the score early in the day and I was like, God damn it. It was like 14-0, I think.
Yeah.
What was the spread in UTSA Memphis
plus
last week?
+3.
Oh, okay.
But they pulled a Buffalo Bills. They came all the way back and won the game outright.
And maybe they're going to have trouble getting up for this game against UNLV. They do have the Hilltoppers next week. Maybe a look ahead line for UTSA. I just think at home they're going to destroy them.
This is in most cases, this is a watch out game, right? Stock high versus stock low, look ahead spot, sleepy spot, whatever you want to call it, but you can't take UNLV.
I'm on the running Rebels.
Oh wow!
Yes, I think they're going to rebound from that Fresno loss.
Rebound
coming into the Alamo.
That was their Super Bowl. Only losing by 8 points is the best they've looked all year.
I'm confused at Colby's handicapping.
Here's my thing, Marcus Arroyo. He's winless as a head coach at UNLV.
Yeah,
I was telling Patty C.
Lost to Iowa State by 45. Lost to Arizona State by 27.
That was deceiving, though. Through three quarters, that was a close game. And I think between that and the Fresno game, I think this team, and he's brought in good recruiting classes to UNLV. I think they're close to turning a corner and getting their first win for him. It almost happened last week. I don't think they're going to get the win here, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Colby is on the sharper side of this than us today. Sean, I think we're taking the chalky side.
We're the squares here with UTSA.
I told you that everything, all my gambling instincts say to take UNLV, but you can't take UNLV.
Yeah,
can't take UNLV in this.
No, they're like the Jets. No offense, Colby. Western Kentucky. That's the East Lansing, Michigan. Michigan State laying 10.5. Hilltoppers +330 on the money line. 61.5 points is the total. Watch a bunch of that Hilltopper Indiana game. They were a live dog that entire game. Michigan State with a kind of wild win over Nebraska didn't cover the spread. I think this is a nice get up spot for Western Kentucky. And you look at their scores, like they do not struggle to score points. And if you're going to give them an extra 10.5, Michigan State, this could be a little bit of a letdown game for Michigan State after that. I think that Nebraska game probably took it out of them a little bit. I think it'd be easy to look past this Western Kentucky team if you haven't been watching them play. I like the Western Kentucky here +10.5.
Colby? Interesting. I'm on Michigan State here. Midnight Mel Tucker.
Wow.
Look, and the logic is this: Western Kentucky's 3-0 ATS, and they're playing back to back Big Ten Power Five schools. The last week was at home.
Look ahead spot for Michigan State. They head to Rutgers next week.
Yes. Maybe
a bigger look ahead spot for Western Kentucky.
Yes. Playing that game. Getting UTSA after. I just
probably don't look past the big one.
I just think it takes a toll after you play Indiana. The next week you hit the road for another Big Ten school. I'm going to take Michigan State. I love that Western Kentucky offense with Bailey Zapp or Zappy or whatever his name is. The Houston,
they
have like
they're
the
able
Houston,
to move the ball yeah. though, man. I'm surprised you're on Michigan State here, Colby.
I just think there's
Western Kentucky is the right side here.
Kenneth Walker is going to run for another 200.
I mean, they put up 59 on Tennessee, put up 35 on Army, 31 on Indiana. Like this
when you say Tennessee, you mean Tennessee Martin.
Yeah.
Tennessee FCS. Martin.
Skyhawks, baby.
I mean, Army's defense isn't horrible.
Indiana. Not
that
exactly.
was a backdoor cover against Army.
They're not.
I just think Michigan State's run game with Kenneth Walker is going to run wild in this.
10.5's a lot. Yeah.
They haven't played a defense like Michigan State. You're insane, Sean. Lay the points.
Wow. You guys are crazy. Hilltoppers.
Michigan State. I mean, honestly, like I would imagine when the DantaBase top 25 debuts next week, I think October, whenever you're allowed to have a rankings contractually obligated.
Yeah.
I would imagine Michigan State will be in there quite high because they've looked good. They've done nothing to suggest that they're not going to roll.
Well, they actually should have lost last week, but once again, Nebraska's special teams, but it was a close game. So,
but they got a punt return
with like a minute left. To send the game into overtime.
Winning games is you know, that's the sign of.
But I agree. I just think they're going to be able to the little brother Western Kentucky.
Fresno State heads to Honolulu to square off against the Fighting Rainbow Warriors. Hawaii catching 10 points plus 300 on the money line, total 62.5. I don't know. What do you think about this Fresno State team, Colby? Hawaii, haven't seen much of them as far as like it would make me interested to back them, but where are you at?
I think Fresno State's really good, and I was all over UNLV covering that on Friday night.
And I think what was the spread against UNLV?
It's like 32 points something.
I think this was a bit of a wake up call game for Fresno State. They definitely, you know, looked like the better team there, but it was a shit ton of points. Now they have it one extra day of rest for the trip to Hawaii. Minus 10 kind of feels low for Fresno State, who's like a legit good team.
Yeah. I mean, really, very low. They were beating Oregon in the fourth quarter. They beat UCLA. If there was ever a large playoff, I think they could do a lot of damage. They have a great quarterback, Washington transfer, and Jake Haener, Ronnie Rivers, son of Reggie Rivers, who was a running back for the Denver Broncos in the 90s. And their receivers are loaded, whether it's Jalen Cropper, whether it's Wheatfall, whether it's Josh Kelly. They have three, four guys that could potentially be on NFL rosters. This Fresno team is going to roll.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think most, if you look at what they've done this year, you can cut them some slack for how they performed against UNLV. And now they get a Hawaii team that's given up no less than 35 points. And that was to Portland State, 45 to Oregon State, 44 to UCLA. So I don't know. One of the better, I mean, honestly, we're talking about quarterback play.
Yeah.
One of the better quarterbacks in terms of output this year. And again, yeah, like, you know, I know the Hawaii, we talked about it, right? Playing at a high school, probably not the greatest home field. And Fresno needs a bounce back spot here.
Yeah, definitely. I love this spot. 10 points only. Come on, give me the Bulldogs.
Feels a little trappy for that reason.
You know what's a trap, Ryan? Crappy hair treatment products. Luckily, Keeps is not that. They get you set up with a convenient virtual doctor consultation. Treatment as low as $10 per month. Discreet packaging. Again, make sure you get to the hair loss before hair loss gets to you. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/SGP to get your first month free. Keeps.com/SGP. I like keeping my hair. I also like keeping my money. I'm keeping my money away from big wireless trying to rip me off. No, thank you. Thank God there is Mint Mobile. Right, that's right. Mint Mobile gets you set up with premium wireless for only $15 a month. I know it sounds too good to be true. Trust me, it's not. And again, they have a 7-day money back guarantee. So you try it out for whatever reason you don't like it. 7-day money back guarantee. You can use your own phone, your own number. Again, you don't have to switch those to switch over to Mint Mobile. And again, it's only $15 a month. Get your new wireless plan, $15 a month. Premium wireless plans shipped right to your door. MintMobile.com/SportsSGP. MintMobile.com/SportsSGP. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. MintMobile.com/SportsSGP. Moving over to the top 25. And Reminder, we have a special guest that will be joining us after we do the picks before Lock Dog T is going to bring a FCS, former FCS star onto the show. Arkansas heads to Athens, Georgia. Bulldogs laying 18.5. Arkansas, suey, +700 on the money line. Colby, what are you doing here?
I'm on the Bulldogs, man. Look, I like Arkansas, but with the status of KJ Jefferson, first off, he's done a great job. And I was all over Arkansas money line last week.
Yep, same.
But this is where it stops here. Georgia, you know, I think it's a bad matchup for them with Jefferson not being all the way healthy. They're also their best receiver was dinged up for Arkansas. I just think it's a bad spot to be coming into Athens. I know Sam Pittman, former O-line coach of Georgia, so maybe, you know, he knows a little bit about Kirby Smart's defenses, but I still just think the offense, you can get away with it against A&M because A&M should have never been in the top 25. Ooh. I said that on the College Experience. You did, believe that.
My bad. I should have listened.
I think the handicap for me is like Georgia is the best team in the country right now. I with the exception of Alabama.
I mean, they've played no one.
No, but I'm saying like they've looked really good even playing no one. I don't think Arkansas is going to be a real test for them. And Arkansas, I mean, that felt like a massive victory for them. They're going to be celebrating. I just think it's too much to ask them to get up for this game in Athens.
Well, and I think it's too much for, I don't dislike the kid. I think he's played great so far. KJ Jefferson.
Yeah.
If he's not 100%, and I can tell you that backup quarterback, when he came in against A&M, he did not look very good. So just the fact there's a chance that guy plays against Georgia's defense, that's two pick sixes. And then KJ Jefferson not being 100%. And, you know, you need to be 100% because they do heavy option read. You know what I mean? Like he runs the ball a decent amount. So I'm all over the Bulldogs minus the 18.5. I think they get it done.
Kramer, going to make it a cosign here? Or?
Oh, I thought it was going to be the hot takes. I figured you Chalky McChalkerson over here would be on Arkansas, a dog that has fleas. Maybe we can call it a hog with fleas. This one concerns me because everyone is taking Arkansas. Of a sudden, everyone is aware of the defense they're running there with a 3-2-6 or whatever.
Love what Barry Odom's doing.
Everyone's talking about Barry Odom. They're in the top 10, Sean. They're 4-0 for the first time since 2003. They just won a big game in a house that was built by an alumni. Gotta wonder, maybe were they hearing the radio calls of Jimbo? My bad for not fading Jimbo button at last week, by the way. So I got to look past that one. The one angle, though, I found this nugget about JT Daniels. Ineffective against top 25 teams dating back to his time with USC. 8 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions in those high profile matchups. Which 3 of those touchdowns coming last year against the 25th ranked Missouri Tigers. So, you got to ask yourselves, is he ready to step up and play at that level in a big game?
I mean, I do think he might be slightly overrated, but I just think Arkansas, I mean, maybe he throws a couple picks. I think they're going to have a conservative game plan for JT Daniels because I think the Georgia defense is going to shut down the Arkansas offense and Georgia's going to, they always have great running backs. They're running back you. They're just going to load up and give the ball to their slew of running backs and you know, play a conservative game. I'm looking at a score of like 28-7.
Yeah,
like that.
49 seems like a high total for this game. Georgia's front should shut them down. It is a lot of points, but I guess that's what you have to do. And the last thing I'll say is with Clemson, with a lot of teams going down, Georgia very clearly is going to have an opportunity to make the playoff, even if they don't win out, even if they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship. So they need wins like this, and they need wins like this to look good. And so I think the defense locks it down. Honestly, I'd be looking to play props here because I think this game goes way under. I think this is like a Georgia 20
just
a
total.
Dude, I think it could be 21-0.
I was going to say this is like a 23-6 game or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what the price would be on like an adjusted under 35. That could be kind of interesting.
But this also could be the yearly Georgia disappoints us once again game.
Georgia had Georgia, I think, had more touchdowns than Vanderbilt had first downs last week.
Vandy's pretty bad though.
Cincinnati. This should be a good game. Maybe the game of the week. Cincinnati heads to South Bend, Indiana. Notre Dame, a 2-point home dog, plus 115 on the money line. 51 is the total. Man, I get Cincinnati's better. This is interesting because this feels to me like a classic game that Notre Dame would blow. The issue here, though, is I don't know. Like I really liked. Is Drew Pine going to be quarterbacking, Colby? Do we know that for Notre Dame? Because I mean, again, the radio announcers were very effusive, but it sounded like he was looking pretty good throwing the football. Their defense came to play. I mean, they blew out Wisconsin late. That was a game. It was a good test. Cincinnati is coming off the bye. It just, I don't understand why Notre Dame's a home dog here. This to me feels like Notre Dame, two fairly even teams. Why doesn't Notre Dame get the home field advantage? Kramer, what am I missing as far as this line being seemingly off?
Well, I think for one, this is the second game in a ridiculous streak where they have five straight opponents coming off a bye, starting with Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Cincy this week, Virginia Tech, and then USC and UNC. So I think probably a little of that, probably the realization that if they made this number, I think if Notre Dame becomes a favorite, I think people are buying back the other way. Cause if you dive into the box score, as you say, the Notre Dame score probably a little misleading last week. So maybe they're a little overvalued if anything. It is trappy, I'll tell you that, because you do initially look at it and say, oh, that's interesting, since he's favored in that game. I didn't think Notre Dame was very good last week. I think they're tremendously overrated now, in the top 10, undefeated. Coming off the game where Brian Kelly passes Newt Rockne for the all-time winningest coach in Notre Dame history. Is that a letdown spot? Is that potentially a letdown spot? This is a playoff game, Sean. This is an absolute midseason playoff game.
No, and that's why I think they're going to be up, and that's why I'm surprised they're a home dog. Colby, where are you at with this game?
I'm on the Irish, man, and Cincinnati, you know, can't afford a slow start like they had against Indiana, because one of the things I think Brian Kelly is great at outside of the college football playoffs is dictating like the pace of the game. He's a master at it, to me, meaning like he always seems to be in control of the games. And to me, I think with Cincinnati still needs to prove it to me. I don't know. I think that if you want to call out that Indiana game, look, I think Cincinnati was the better team, but I also think they dressed up that score. It was a lot closer of a game.
Yeah. As a guy who had money on Cincinnati, I felt pretty fortunate to get that W.
So I'm on the Irish, man. Brian Kelly, I think, is the difference in this. And I think Jack Cohn, now that's the only concern really is Jack Cohn is penciled into right now to be the starter. I don't know how healthy he is, but another thing that Notre Dame has going for him is Marcus Freeman, their defensive coordinator, was the Cincinnati defensive coordinator a year ago. So if anyone knows the Bearcats offense, it is Marcus
Freeman.
I like
that angle. Yeah. Come to my head. I got to take the home dog here, but Cincinnati, Notre Dame's going to have their hands full, but I'll take the Irish catching two at home. Kramer.
The number is fishy. And I do wonder where it goes. Cause it seems like the number is made here because it's more likely to go to -3 than it is to flip over to the Notre Dame side, I think. That being said, if you like Notre Dame, you grab it now because you could see the money come in and flip it. I'm going to take Cincinnati. I didn't think Notre Dame was a great game. Like Colby said, maybe Brian Kelly pulls out some witchcraft and they muck up the game enough to take advantage. But Cincinnati's got to see blood in the water. You love this team preseason. This is a bona fide team. They're coached well, and they now see an opportunity where this team can make the playoff. Now the ACC has tapped out. The alliance is getting weaker. The Pac-12 does have an outside shot, but I would say the Pac-12 and Cincinnati have equal parts right now. And I think they're both ahead of Notre Dame. This is a playoff game. Cincy will perform. I think they're the better team, the better coach, and this is going to shock the college football world, even though short favorite.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it feels like. If they win in South Bend, it's an upset, but they're favorite. So that to me is where
to me that tells you they should be favored. Like to me, I looked at this. I thought it was going to be Cincy by 3.
Yeah,
because it was one of those spots where they're clearly the better team to me, but they're on the road. But I think bettors are going to take Cincinnati as a dog. So let's go. You guys are on the wrong side.
Ole Miss catching 14 and a half as they head to Tuscaloosa to square off against Nick Saban. Total sitting at an insane 79 points. Alabama's defense has had some issues. Saban, he's 21 and 0 against former assistants. Which is an insane that you've even played that many games against guys who are now head coaches. That says something. He won last year. They won 63-48. This is in Alabama. Oh man. I mean, Ole Miss is fun. They're coming off a bye. They have an ability to put up points, but does Alabama little brother him here? Colby, where you at?
I think they want you to take Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And that's why they made it 14 and a half. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But then man, Matt Corral, they can throw it. They can move the ball.
My problem is that I don't know how good they are. Louisville beat Florida State last week, and we know Florida State's dog shit. Tulane gets beat up by UAB, so Tulane's 1-3 now. So maybe the Green Wave aren't what we thought they were.
And
then they played Austin Peay. I know Sean's Governors, but they just lost to the Eastern Kentucky Colonels in the FCS. I'm not all the way as I know I have the Corral ticket. I think the offense will be fine. I'm just not all the way on board yet with Ole Miss. I need to see it against better competition for me to buy in. Give me Bama minus the 14.
Yeah, it does feel like a get up spot for Alabama. And you look at these games. I mean, like, what has Alabama really had to get up for so far this season? Florida, they kind of slept walk a little bit, but that was on the road. I just don't see them doing it at home, like falling asleep at the wheel. Maybe Ole Miss back towards this, but I think you got to take Alabama minus 14 and a half.
I mean, the line is begging you. It's telling you we got to take Alabama. And I think it comes down to the fact that Ole Miss will just allow way too many points, and it'll be a fun game, but at some point, I mean, look, this is a tough one because I feel like if this number is 18 and a half, I'm like, oh yeah, Ole Miss all day.
Yeah.
But 14 and a half is like the classic. Oh, give you that hook. You want some candy? You want some candy? Give me Alabama laying 14. Well, and
honestly, Alabama first half may be the way to go. Alabama 14-3 against the spread in the first half in the last 17 games. That's insane. How have we not been riding this? I don't know.
Yeah, I just, when you see the total at 79, it turns 14 and a half into like 7.5 just because there's so much more scoring.
Baylor heads to Stillwater, Oklahoma squaring off against Oklahoma State. Okay. State laying 3.5 plus 155. Baylor is on the money line, total 49.5. Baylor coming off a huge win. Is it a letdown spot for them? I don't know. This to me feels like a field goal game, but maybe this is will Baylor be able to get up for this game, Colby?
No. I'm on Oklahoma State. I locked them up against Kansas State. Oklahoma State, you know, Spencer Sanders was dinged up early in the year. I know he wasn't playing great, but I think in general, like, Baylor is just that was a magical win. It was much like Bowling Green's win against Minnesota. You look at the yards.
282 to 479.
Baylor got destroyed yardage wise. It's one of these ones where you just say, how the fuck did they win that game? And I think coming into Stillwater, where you know it's a tough place to win, like I said, we locked up OK State against K State last week. That hit. I'm going to do it again. I think OK State's a better team, and I think they're improving. And I think even they're improving at the quarterback spot, where their big weakness was out the gate this year.
Crazy. They had 9 penalties for 100 yards. They also held the ball for only 24 minutes. Baylor should not have won the game. And again, maybe we should be fading more teams that are 4-0, and I'm not applying this globally, but this Baylor team, the stock is as high as it's going to be all year. And again, there's just something about this Oklahoma State team, because when you watch them, it's not a fun, like,
it's ugly.
I almost recommend not watching them. but that, like, in this situation, I'm fading Baylor more than I'm backing Oklahoma State, but you know, it's always fun to have some Gundy action, you know?
Yeah, it is. It just seems like it's going to be a tough spot for Baylor. Again, that was like a crazy come from behind win, and as you guys point out, like, a game they probably shouldn't have won. They won anyway. So I'll roll with you. Get some Gundy there. OK State minus 3.5.
4-0 in the top 25, reading the press clipping.
Picks wise, baby. It's the number one app for sports betting picks, helmed by a team of trend watching, data devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport. Loaded with best bets, props, and parlays, you can find in-depth analysis on every game all for free. Pound your pick, search the latest sportsbook promotions to sign up an account, compare the odds, and finally place your bet. Download the free PixWise app now to make your next bet better. PixWise backs responsible gambling. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. That's right, Odds Crowd, home of a ton of free fantasy betting contests. And of course, we got the season long college football one, our weekly $100 SGPN contest, which you can only play if you have the SGPN app. Oddscrowd.com. Download the app. Make sure you get involved in there. And let's see, they have these weekly contests as well. Let's see if I can pull up the season long, see where I am in the season long competition. Of course. Oh, what is this? Oh shit. I'm down to 18th. Someone came out of nowhere. Rain 80 is now up 74 units. I'm still up 18 units. Nice 14% ROI on my picks. This guy is insane right now. He's in the lead with $3,000. Again, still not too late to get in these season long contests. This guy seemingly came out of nowhere, because you can do these, you know, you hit a couple of these big dogs and you can really skyrocket in value. Yeah, it looks like he entered the contest, the season long contest, a couple days ago. So still a chance for you guys to get involved. Hit some of those big, massive money line dogs. Michigan heads to Wisconsin. Wisconsin, a 1-point home dog. Yeah, money line's pretty split here. Michigan -115. I'm all over Michigan here. I mean, Graham Mertz has just looked horrific. His confidence has to be rattled. And maybe it's you can say like it's a bounce back spot for Michigan after that loss, but that felt more like a dream crusher game for me.
If someone's going to lose their NIL deal, it's going to be Graham Mertz. And real quick, I don't know if you mentioned it, but pick Dundee a couple spots ahead of you.
Oh, I'm in 18th. What is Dundee?
16th.
Oh man.
And just for those keeping track at home, I've dug out of my deepish hole and I'm coming for you in 85th place.
All right. Look at,
but Graham Mertz, I mean, if you signed a deal with Graham Mertz, you're looking to get, you're talking to the lawyers right now. How do we void this deal for poor performance? As much as I would tell you, always fade Harbaugh. Harbaugh hasn't won at Camp Randall. Michigan hasn't won in Madison in a couple decades. But man, he threw more touchdowns to Notre Dame in the fourth quarter, in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, than he did to his team. I don't know how you play. Is he starting? Are they going to take him out?
He's unplayable in my mind from a gambling point of view. But database, what are we seeing here in this game?
I'll key in on this for your stats. During his last seven games against Power Five team, Graham Mertz 11 interceptions, 3 touchdowns, just 184 yards passing per game.
Is that bad, man?
But I am taking Wisconsin. Wow. because Whoa. They. Michigan did not look good against Rutgers to me, man. No. Like maybe out the gate.
No, but I had Rutgers as my bonus lock. That was a no sweat lock of the year. And to me, that was more Rutgers as being decent. Again, this is less a bet on Michigan and just more a bet against Wisconsin. You could make the case for Wisconsin. It's like they're going to do everything they can to take the ball out of Mertz's hands. This is a get up spot at home. I get the angle.
They get their ass whooped in Madison every time, though, dude. They've gotten their ass whooped the past two times they've played this game, but especially in Madison, 35-14. They were up 35-0 in that game.
Shit does seem to
matter. 24-10. 45-24, 37-21. I'm going to take Wisconsin. I think Jim Leonard dials up a defense. I don't think Michigan's missing Ronnie Bell. I think they're not going to be able to run the ball against Jim Leonard's defense. And I think it's going to be a slugfest.
This is Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this to me? I don't want to take, give me Wisconsin. Colby Swade. I can't take Harbaugh. It is a great, I mean,
I'm staying on the Harbaugh Island.
I do like the narrative of taking the team that just got blown out. With a bigger score than maybe it should have been on a nationally televised game.
But they're not getting any points though, you know?
I regret not going back to my black book and seeing never take Wisconsin away from home, especially as a favorite. That, like, I fucked up.
Oklahoma. laying 10.5 in Manhattan, Kansas. K-State, a 10.5 point dog, +330 on the money line. I mean, again, maybe I'm just a TMZ college football fan, just a, you know, random handicapper hitting almost 57%. But I can't take Oklahoma laying 10.5 against this Kansas State team who, again, they're a flawed team for sure, but
how many 10 times?
And a, 10.5 is a little too frisky for me. I'm sure the angle for Oklahoma is like, no, trust us. This is when Spencer Rattler gets it figured out. This is when the offense is unleashed, and maybe this is the case. And I'm fading Oklahoma until I see something to justify these big road favorite spreads. Colby, where are you at?
Look, Lincoln Riley's never beaten Kansas State. And Manhattan, Kansas is a place that I don't care. I understand Skylar Thompson's been out, even though he warmed up in the game the other day.
Could he play?
I maybe there's a chance that he does because I saw that he was warming up, but I don't care. Like, that's too many points. That if you're beating Tulane by 5, I'm gonna ride with K-State to figure some things out. I like the defense. I like the run game. It's just got it. If they can just throw the forward pass, I think they're in this game. Now, that is a big if, but I also think just being in Manhattan, Kansas, that's another thing, is Oklahoma hasn't hit the road yet. Oklahoma and Michigan have yet to play a road game.
And
this year, college football fans, it matters.
And Texas on deck.
Yes. Yes.
Period. Look ahead.
And they've lost 2 in a row to K-State.
This could be the get right. I mean, I guess I worry that the talent finally going to pop. This Oklahoma team has not been good, but I
think if that was the case, wouldn't we have seen some signs of it? Like, just watching Spentler, just eye test alone, drop back. It's like, I don't see a first round pick there. I don't see this dynamic, super athletic talent that, you know, can't be guarded. I mean, I don't know.
It's tough when you're going to see this team's resolve. It's never a good look when a team, a fan base is clamoring for a backup, let alone at the college level.
Yeah.
For a kid who's never thrown a fucking pass. I mean,
and by the way, I didn't mean to say, I said that stat incorrectly. Lincoln Riley has beaten K-State. It's Chris Klieman, K-State's head coach, that is undefeated against Lincoln Riley, 2-0.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's Texas next week.
Yeah. Come on. So we're all on K-State there. Last of the additional games here, Auburn heads to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. LSU laying 3.5, Auburn +150. I've kind of just been fading LSU to decent results. Of course, they snaked out Mississippi State last week. But Colby, where are you at with this game?
This one is a true. In a way, it's like they're both teams I'm
not interested to bet on.
You know, Auburn should have lost. Like, Georgia State was a flat out better team last week. Anyone that watched that game, and by the way, there was some home cooking on a huge 30 yard catch by Auburn where the ball clearly hits the ground. It's tough because I don't think LSU, I watched that LSU Mississippi State game. They didn't look great in that win.
No,
Mississippi State, like, kind of outplayed them. They
gave up a couple big plays and fumbled and turned the ball over in the red zone. And you can't do that.
And we don't think Mississippi State's the best team,
but you know, Auburn hasn't won in Baton Rouge.
Speak for yourself, Ryan.
Yeah. You know, Auburn hasn't won in Baton Rouge in 20 years. So I'm going to go LSU. I don't love it, but give me LSU. Cause Auburn, what are they doing at quarterback? Is Finley the starter now? He's going up against his former team at LSU.
This both feels like a spot where you can't lay this many points with LSU. We think Auburn is going to, at a minimum, be a better defensive test, right? Than Mississippi State.
I'm just out on Auburn. I think even more. So I'm out on kind of both these teams, but I'm out on Auburn more. So I'm going to go LSU -3.5. Like Colby said, I mean, at the end of the day, the home field, I'll take that in this matchup. But I don't want any part of this game. Yeah, I don't know.
They haven't won in 20 years in Baton Rouge. I need.
Yeah, right? that was the nugget that I mean, and most people will tell you that's one of the better home fields out there. And also, if you're LSU, you got to start realizing, like, you know, there's blood in the water too. Like, you're 3-1. Like, it's not you're not a very good team. You lost to UCLA. Have covered 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and they're coming out of it.
There's opportunity. I mean,
plenty of opportunities, Ryan. Speaking of opportunities, once in a lifetime opportunity to get into Simplified DFS, aka prizepicks.com. Make sure you head over to prizepicks.com. Use our promo code SGP for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. Again, you'll hear Kramer and I, we do a DFS lineup on the DFS for NFL. Colby and Nick do a whole DFS show, giving some overs, unders.
Gave away a lineup that hit for 150, I think, last Friday.
150K, yeah. Holy Woo! Shit.
Yeah.
No, and it's pretty easy too. Like a $20 entry, you go 3 for 3 on your over and unders. $20 turns into $100. It's fun. It's easy. And again, if you're in a state where you can't access player props, this is a nice workaround. So head to prizepicks.com, promo code SGP. Joining us on the line, Stone Labanowitz. Stone, thanks for calling into the show, man. Appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys, man. I've been waiting since I don't know what month it was in the spring that I first chatted with you guys, man. I've been waiting to do it again. Excited to be here.
Yeah, we had you on, you know, helped root on the Salukis, got you a nice FCS playoff win. And now
on the road too.
Yeah, that was a huge win, man. And watching that game live in our studio was pretty awesome. Just like, oh, that's our guest Stone. He's killing it. I always said, I thought your game reminded me a lot of like a Doug Flutie, maybe a Drew Brees. Did you ever have a quarterback you modeled your game after?
Doug Flutie's probably good. Now, size and stature, I was never really able to compare myself to those guys in the NFL. I'm 5'10", I'm 190 soaking wet. So there's a few guys I can pick from. I don't run as fast as Russell Wilson. So yeah, at times it was a guy like Drew Brees or it was a guy like Matthew Stafford. I always saw myself as, I don't want to give myself this name, but with a gunslinger mentality, I'm not really afraid of guys on the other side of the ball. You know, I like my guys all the time. I like my team. And that's kind of how Matthew Stafford worked in Detroit. And now he's looking and working like that in LA. So just a fearless guy, a guy who really doesn't care who's across the ball from him, to be honest with you guys.
Yeah. All right. I like that. Matty Stafford.
I mean, that stood out in the FCS playoffs, man, was I thought like, you know, you took your shots. And to me, very impressive performance and man, you're a baller, certified baller. We're going to crown that here.
And now, kind of, you know, next chapter in the Stone career, you got a gig with ESPN West Palm Beach, working with the Miami Dolphins. What do you got? What do you got going on with those new opportunities?
And life's good. Life's good. I got a radio, television, digital media degree, and I never want to leave the realm of the sport of football or, you know, whatever, wherever it takes me. So I'm doing as much media stuff as I can. This is my life. It's forever going to be my life. Getting a chance to watch the Dolphins and Hurricanes play on a weekend basis, just it keeps me going. It's so motivating. I literally listen to you guys on a daily basis.
I'm Let's
a
go.
Power guy. All these things. I'm so invested in my life. I'm a fantasy football player. I'm an active degen.
There we go.
My burner account.
Hashtag degens only.
I feel like I'm, like I said, I'm never going to leave this realm. So I'm attacking things media specific and mainly football, but things are going really well. ESPN West Palm Beach. I'm going to be on the radio a little bit. I'm going to be on the ground working for the team. So same thing you guys are doing. I'm interested in it. I'm going to be here for the rest of time.
Awesome. Well,
the grind is real.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. College football kind of been an interesting season. Of course, Colby is always, you know, anti the college football playoff, that it's not expansive enough. You came from a league that had a legit FCS, you know, a legit playoff bracket, you know, it being only four teams. If you had to pick right now, who would be your four teams to put into the college football playoff?
Hey, I could vent. You guys know I'm an FCS guy. I could vent about how bullshit it is that we only pick four teams to watch. Yes. I hate it. I mean, I know what it feels like to be a higher seed and to be a lower seed. So I think this year, more than any other year in the FCS, it's a level playing field. I think, of course, if I'm going to get to the point, we're going to throw Alabama in there. We're going to throw Georgia in there. Things could shake up if Arkansas went into Athens and took them and take them down. That's the only way I see Georgia kind of moving out of that, especially maybe they're on upset watch later on in the season. They're going to play Auburn. They're going to play Florida. They're going to play Missouri and some of those other SEC schools that could give them that second loss if Arkansas decides to beat them. But if you're Alabama, Georgia, I'm a Jack Cohn fan. I know you guys rode with Notre Dame last week.
Yeah,
so the hell did I. I love that. So I can see them slipping in there. would annoy people, but at the same time, I think they're good competition for a team like Georgia, and they could sweep them, in my opinion. I don't think Cincinnati gets a shot. There's no one on their schedule that anybody really cares about besides the Notre Dame matchup they have Saturday. But I don't – there's nothing else on their schedule besides like an SMU that would be a trademark win for Ritter and those guys to kind of catapult into that four-team spot. I like Oklahoma. Now, I'm going to get into Oklahoma in a little bit, hopefully.
Ooh, nice.
But they just went from 4-6. But I think there's some teams on their schedule, and they've done enough last year, and they have the notoriety to slip in there if one of the teams wanted to slip up. But if I give you my four teams, I'd go Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, and it's a toss-up between Oklahoma and Notre Dame for me. But those would be my four or five.
Yeah, I like it. And I think you totally nailed it. We talked earlier in the show about how the Cincinnati Notre Dame game is kind of a play-in game to a certain degree. If Cincinnati really wants a shot to get in there, they have to get this win against Notre Dame, obviously. And if Notre Dame gets it, it certainly helps build their case. And yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it's tough to. I mean, this really is a good opportunity for the Pac-12 to get a team in.
Yeah, I kind of like going full anti-alliance here. Three SEC teams, Arkansas, Georgia, and Alabama, and then give me Cincinnati. The alliance is out.
If Alabama and Georgia and Arkansas make it to the playoff, I would put any amount of money in the world. We expand to a 16-team playoff. Yeah. Nobody. We are going to burn the house down if there are three SEC teams.
Well, and if that's what it takes to get 16 team playoff, then so be it. I'm
ready to burn the house down. Look, Georgia looks legit, but Clemson's 2-2 and they've barely beat Georgia Tech. And the other one was South Carolina State.
Yeah.
So like, to me, that is your best win on the resume.
Well, I think we're going to learn a lot about Georgia in how they deal with Arkansas. I mean, granted, they're at home, the spread's big. We kind of broke that game down, but if they struggle against Arkansas, or if like Stone's saying, if somehow Arkansas can go into Athens and get that outright victory, then they're, you know, obviously that changes.
But go back to that Georgia Clemson game. They didn't even score a touchdown on offense. Now, do I believe in the Georgia defense? Yes, I do. The front seven is amazing, but. I still have questions. JT Daniels is a guy that was out here in USC. I think he's a talented quarterback, but in big games, it's yet to be seen. So until I see that, I'm not all the way in on Georgia. But then again, the SEC East. I mean, I think Florida could beat Georgia. Florida could beat Georgia, man. So where do you stand with the Gators and what's going on with Dan Mullen?
Listen, I'll never back down from being such a hater on playing two quarterbacks on a time or there being quarterback turmoil in the middle of the season. Emory Jones has looked good the past few weeks, but with all that chatter, when Anthony Richardson comes back from that hamstring, you're going to get we want Caleb Williams going in the swamp sooner or later if Emory Jones wants to not play that well. So I stand all right with Florida. I mean, I think they're a top 10 team, no doubt. But I think they will slip at some point during the season. I just think you're going to see Emory Jones not play well down the stretch, whether it's 2 or 3 weeks from now, and they're going to end up with 2-3 bad losses on that schedule. Alabama, the way they played Alabama helps most definitely. But yeah, and it's the same goes for Georgia as far as the quarterback room goes. Stetson Bennett hasn't played that bad. Everyone's going to remember the UAB game that he tossed 5 in the air and completed every single ball he threw. But when JT Daniels comes back healthy, you're going to hear chatter, you know, why don't we keep playing Stetson Bennett? And whenever that shit starts to creep in to your team, especially at that level, and this is all you're going to be asked in a press conference in the media, I'm not a fan of how that stuff goes. So I think Florida and Georgia could slip a few games, and it might be because of their quarterback turmoil, but that's where I stand on. Well, that's just how I look at it.
You know, as a QB expert, quarterback yourself there, what are your thoughts on the quarterbacks involved in the Heisman race? We got Colby a Matt Corral Heisman Trophy ticket. That's looking pretty good right now. But what's your handicap of the Heisman race so far?
What'd you get that at? That Corral ticket?
40-1.
Yeah, 40-1.
back in
May.
I didn't know it got there. That's nasty. I think this week is the hot topic as is the college football playoff because so much could happen. This week is, I think, the deciding punch. Corral has an opportunity to go into Tuscaloosa and completely turn his odds 180. He's at +160, +165 right now. You go into Tuscaloosa, make yourself 5-0, I think. you're a -150 favorite. You're a little below 2-1. I think that's just where the odds go, especially if Bryce Young doesn't play that well. So you're getting him 40-1, and he could turn into a favorite after week 5.
All right, let's not sell the ticket. Stone's convincing me.
Wow, interesting.
Well, what happens if they lose?
Not an hour ago, Stone, I gave this exact same argument. They both called me an asshole, and so they wanted to sell the ticket.
Well, listen, I think that NBA MVP and the Heisman race share a lot of similarities. We want the shiny new toy. We want the kid who's hurling people's or hitting threes from half court. Corral, no homo, is a great looking dude. He's got the swagger. He's got the juice. Everyone's going to fall in love with this kid, especially if he goes and takes down Thanos this weekend. So I think that Matt Corral ticket's the spiciest one. I mentioned earlier, Desmond Ridder probably got the best value. But like I said, nobody's going to give a damn when he goes and beats the piss out of East Carolina. I just don't think there's much that he can do. So I think it's between Corral and Young.
I love calling Nick Saban in Alabama Thanos. That's great.
Yeah.
Got to take him down.
We're going to steal that one, I think.
But what happens if Corral, like if Ole Miss loses by 7, but he still throws for 350 and four touchdowns?
The numbers will probably stay the same, I think. Yeah, I wouldn't see it shifting tremendously. Well, Stone, you're involved in the media, you're down to talk sports gambling. You have an awesome name for a sports gambling segment, maybe some Stone Cold Locks. What do you like this weekend on the college football slate? Maybe two or three of your favorite picks here.
Listen, I love you guys. I planned on telling you guys I need a freaking hashtag because I got two locks for you guys.
Let's go.
Call me the Stone Cold Locks. It's going to be a weekly thing because we're going 2-0 this week.
Nice.
There we go.
I got two plays I really, really like. I got two plays I'm a big fan of right now. I think the first one being Oklahoma -10, -10.5 possibly, shop it around. I think if you wait to take the line, I think all the money comes in on Kansas State with all the crap you're going to be hearing in the media and the questions they're going to be asking him. So that line might drop. You might get around 8-9 before kickoff. I'm there. Here's the thing. You called me a QB expert. That's usually how I like angle my plays when I'm trying to bet. Good offensive minds and good offensive coaches like Lincoln Riley. Now, I know this from experience. You have a batch of plays or plays you can pull out of your back pocket that usually you would save for bigger opponents that, you know, play certain coverages. You know, I see it come out of coaches' pockets, even in practice, whether it's spring OTAs or training camp. There's plays your quarterback starts to develop to love and receivers love and a head coach loves that he keeps in his back pocket. Now, I thought chanting for Caleb Williams was one of the most disrespectful things that I've seen. I mean, how picky can a fan base be? You have a Heisman front runner at the beginning of the season. You're fourth or sixth in the country, and you want your chanting for your backup.
I know.
And you're undefeated.
Yeah, you haven't lost
the
game.
It's not like he's lost, you know, all these games.
You haven't lost any of these games, so I think you pissed Lincoln Riley off more than you pissed Spencer Rattler off. So you're going to see early and often, I think Oklahoma take shots down the field and open the playbook off and just let Spencer Rattler let his play do the talking, getting everybody the middle finger. And I think that's what we're going to see. They're walking into a buzzsaw. Listen, I saw Kansas State play my beloved SIU Salukis in week 2. Now, Skylar Thompson, who I think is the best quarterback in the Big 12, hurt his knee in the second drive of that game. They thought he was going to be out for the rest of the season. They don't know yet. I know he's not playing this week. He's not on the depth chart. They haven't mentioned him in any of his press conferences this morning. Kleiman, another FCS guy. Their backup quarterback came into the game against SIU, and they had zero confidence in him. They love Deuce Vaughn. They beat Nevada 38-17 2 weeks ago. They let Howard throw the ball 12 times and handed the ball off to Deuce Vaughn 26 times. Last week, the third-string quarterback came in and threw it 19 times, and Howard threw it 12. They have no idea what the hell is going on. And that you're walking right into a buzzsaw. A pissed-off Oklahoma team doesn't even care who they're playing. They're going to beat the living crap, I think, early and often out of Kansas State.
And, love it. And I know in the offseason, because Kleiman's 2-0 against Lincoln Riley, but Lincoln Riley said he's going to put more of an emphasis on playing Kansas State. That will go into your point. But also, as a guy that took K-State because the game's in Manhattan, that place gets lit. And the fact that Lincoln Riley is winless against Kleiman, last year when they played in Norman, he had to use wide receivers as defensive backs. I don't know how they won that game because of the COVID issues that Kansas State were having. So I took K-State just because of the first road trip for Oklahoma. But
you don't
have
to apologize.
I see your point, but Klieman's a hell of a coach to pull out a win in Norman with defensive backs as walk-ons and stuff and wide receivers throwing them in there and to pull off that win. This game has my attention.
Great case you made for Oklahoma. What's your other stone cold lock, Stone?
I wanted to mention Malik Willis in the Heisman talk.
Ooh, but again, yeah,
same narrative as Ritter, just doesn't have enough ahead of him to be able to get himself into that conversation. So what it turns into for Malik Willis is, let me solidify my name. Let me boost my draft stock. How do I do that? I'm already on everyone's watch list, but I need to beat the teams that we and I should beat. So I think when I look at that Liberty schedule, there's games on it where if I'm Malik Willis, you can't lose. They're going to forget about you if you lose. Now, Syracuse played well, and that dome was kind of lit. We hate on Syracuse's dome a little bit, but Syracuse played well.
It's a tough spot. It's a tough spot to go in and get them.
Absolutely a tough spot. So coming off of that loss, consciously as a quarterback, knowing, you know, you want to stay relevant, you want to boost your draft stock. He played well against Syracuse. I think he gets fancy. I think he lights up the scoreboard. I think Liberty scores 30, 40 plus, and Malik Willis puts himself back into that I'm right here. I didn't go anywhere. We're still right here, and that's the team we are. I think they're -1.5, -2 at some other places, but I think it's a statement game for Malik Willis to stay relevant and keep his name and boost his draft stock. So I love Liberty -1, -2, wherever you can get him.
Love it. Yeah, I'm going to co-sign that Liberty pick for sure. Love Malik Willis. Love what we've seen, and it's a perfect spot, right? You go into the Carrier Dome. You lose. I mean, it's that classic, you know, just the place was kind of lit. It's a tough place to play. Nice bounce back opportunity against UAB. Well, Stone, appreciate you calling in. Definitely going to have you back, and make sure you follow Stone on Twitter at Labanowitz Stone. Give him some of your Stone Cold Locks. Hashtag Stone Cold Locks. Stone, thanks for calling in, and best of luck with the picks, man.
Certified baller.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
Appreciate you guys. See you on the other side.
Time for the Lock Dog and Tease. All right, let's do it. Lock Dog and Tease. I oh man, Stone really won me over with his impassioned play for Oklahoma. I'm not feeling great about the Kansas State play that we made earlier. Colby, will let you kick things off. What are you doing for your lock? Or no, I think Kramer normally starts. Lock Dog, Tease, and Bonus Lock.
Whatever you want, buddy. All right. Kramer, go ahead. All right. You want thunder? Or you want lightning?
Happy to take the lead. All right. First, let's mix things up. We're going to start with a dog. I mean, I know this is a crazy angle to take, but I'm happy to take the dog catching all those points in Northwestern against this Nebraska team. There is a coaching edge. Colby is wet for Scott Frost, and I don't understand why. And I can get +320 that Adrian Martinez hands the ball to the other team too many times. So give me that. For my lock, let me do it one more time. I'm going to fade Notre Dame. Love Cincinnati this week. Love, love, love Cincinnati. This is the opportunity they could have, if they could dream up a way for college football to start, it would have been this way. It would have been Notre Dame high in the rankings with a big win against the Power Five. It would have been ACC teams dropping like flies. It would have been the way it looks right now. So they are going to cash in on this opportunity. As Colby repeatedly reminded us, this is a team that is locked in. Love them to take it. And our buddy Phil Steele also could be a surprise playoff team. I love that angle for my tease. It's hard for me to not want to get Fresno State on the teaser here, getting it down to -4 against Hawaii. Love the bounce back spot there. Give me Eastern Michigan. You said wrong team favored. Well, let's tease them up to 8.5. And for the last leg of my tease, lots of history going against this one. If Wisconsin screws me over one more time, I'm going to be very upset with myself, but give me Wisconsin plus a full touchdown at home. You don't get too many opportunities to get that against a man who wears oversized khakis. And I disagree with Stone. He did not sway me. The red, what do they call it now?
What are we talking about?
It's not a shootout, right?
It's the Red River.
The Red River handshake?
Yeah, handshake.
The Red River shootout / rivalry is a big deal. So big that it's okay for Texas to look past TCU. TCU, on the other hand, fucking hates Texas.
You're stealing my play.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, because this is the other side of that look ahead. And boy, we haven't gotten a great opportunity to fade Sark. The look ahead on this number was we moved across some key numbers.
I can play into this, man. As a guy,
as I hand the baton. Well, I got to do my. I got to
as a guy
pick,
that's been somewhat friends with their athletic director at TCU. Oh. He's told me times. You know, Patterson dials in. He truly despises Texas. Look at his record. He gets it done against the Longhorns year after year.
Sometimes there are one-sided rivalries, right? And we saw with that senator, that Texas member, the politician from Texas, talking to the University of Texas person. Maybe you want to go to the SEC and get your ass kicked by Alabama instead of TCU. 3-7 over the last 10 years. Give me the Horned Frogs, baby. Which, by the way, always had a connection to them, thinking they were a little bit of the Virginia Tech of Texas, aka the Big 12. And for a norm play, which, by the way, and
sorry, what's the spread in the TCU game?
Four and a half.
Seeing a five.
Five?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with five. And in true norm fashion, my norm salute went 0-4 last week. So tread lightly with this one. But I mean, is there not a better norm salute than this week than to just take Kansas State, take Texas Tech, and just parlay both sides of the pre Red River shootout / rivalry / carnival / maybe they call it the Red River Farmers Market.
Austin, the river's red. Give it another year.
I'm sure we might have that name.
So I
think we go with a Kansas State TCU money line, not money line.
Texas Tech, you said.
No.
Or no, TCU.
I like it. The Red River Farmers Market.
You did say.
All right, but just to be clear.
K-State, TCU, money line.
No money line.
Any more Californians.
Oh, wait, so Kansas State, TCU,
just points. Yeah.
Just a two-team parlay.
A look ahead, get out of town. Maybe they both win the game, but they're not covering.
Okay, what am I going to do here? All right, I really like USC. I hate them as a team, but I think you got to lock them up here. Colorado's just dog shit. Their offense. USC -7 is the lock for my dog. I like. You know what? I don't know. I mean, I like Eastern Michigan. That feels like a little bit of a small dog. The rest of these dogs. I mean, I don't want to give out K-State. Here's what I'll do. I'll give out Eastern Michigan and Notre Dame parlayed as my dog. You know what? I'll just give out Eastern Michigan money line, and I'll just give out two separate dogs, Eastern Michigan and Notre Dame, since I'm giving out small dogs.
Oh my goodness.
What?
I didn't know this was an option.
What
multiple
do
dogs?
We're making up the rules as we
breaking
go.
Breaking the rules.
For my tees, give me a UTSA down to 15.
The Colby dance special.
Alabama down to 8.5.
Wow, this is a Colby tease if I've ever seen one.
Notre Dame up to 8. And for my bonus lock, Liberty -2. I'm with Stone.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's a great angle to play. And for my norm play, I will give out Western Kentucky and Northwestern money line parlay. So Ryan, if you don't mind calculating that one real quick.
Jesus Christ.
All right. We'll do whatever you want. Colby,
pulling up the calculator.
Yeah. Look,
what do you got? Lock dog, bonus lock and a crazy play.
You just don't overthink this one. It's fading the Buffs, man. They're
really?
This line is off. It is just off. Give me USC -7. My dog, let's have fun. Running Rebels +800.
What?
Ooh. UNLV +800.
Colby, what are you
doing? Colby, you do realize you picked Alabama in the
No. Running Rebels.
Oh, sorry. UNLV.
UNLV.
That's gonna be a 3-star review.
Yeah. For the tease, let's go to give me that Wisconsin up to 7.
Okay.
Give me Fresno State down to 3 or 4. I'm sorry, 4.
That is a good tease.
And let's do USC down to 1.
Mm. And, liking it.
And bonus play here. He took my TCU play. So
ride with me.
No.
Ride with me, all friend. Right. Although that's bad luck. We have not been good crossing streams.
So I'm going to go to WakeLeaks.
What the hell is WakeLeaks?
Do you don't know about WakeLeaks? When Louisville was stealing the plays, the player, the coaches were stealing like their play-by-play announcer was copying Wake Forest's playbook. So I think Dave Clawson remembers that.
Oh, we are so dialed in because that would have been my. I was going to give a lockout at the end of the show. Yes,
Wake -6.5 at against Louisville. Yeah. I think Wake's for real, man. They're going to win the ACC this year.
And you got a Norm play?
Yeah, I got a Norm play. You got to
knock you some beer, get it all messed up.
Just real quick.
Shout
on
out
Wake.
To Norm. What's
like
that?
That's the kind of thing that really pisses coaches off. Like, that's the kind of thing where he's probably been dialed in since the summer, thinking about how he's going to fucking come into this game and thrash.
I'm all over this. So let's do a money line parlay here. Let's go with, where are these dogs here? Let's go. Give me New Mexico against Air Force. Rocky Long, great track record defending the triple option. So New Mexico against their 10.5 point dogs against Air Force, and let's do Kentucky at home against Florida.
So you have New Mexico with the points parlayed with Kentucky.
No. Both on the money line. Let's have some fun.
New Mexico, Kentucky money line parlay.
What were those prices again?
And I'm trying to grab those prices right now.
You want
to,
Sean? I got your calculated while we were doing that.
What am I looking at?
17-1.
Woo, let's go.
And then if you could get me some money line prices, Colby,
I'm grabbing
happy
it.
Happy to give I'm you some room it. Service.
I'm grabbing it right now. Hang on. But look, Rocky Long, the defensive coordinator of New Mexico, by the way, the head coach is a former player for Rocky Long when he was head coach at New Mexico. They have a great record against the triple option. By the way, Kentucky plus 260 on the money line. So that's that one.
We should look into the bonus situation for Kentucky's coach because he's gonna clear 7 wins easy this year. So he could be getting maybe a multi-year extension.
New Mexico plus 330.
New Mexico plus 330. What's the other one?
I just told you. You got. Hang on. It's plus 260.
Oh my goodness! You guys are throwing out some real. I really pushed out. Plus 1450.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's have some fun.
What I'm talking about. Make sure you leave a nice rating review for your chance to win gear every Monday, aka Merch Monday. Drop it over at Apple Podcast.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Make sure you see Colby out in the Nebraska game this Saturday.
Lincoln,
make sure you
baby.
Subscribe to the College Football and Basketball Experience, 2 separate feeds for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, Stack of the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
I look forward to seeing Wake Forest in the ACC Championship. Let's fucking go.
Kramer, let it ride.